Thank you all very much for being here. This is the Board of Directors of Triumph Gulf Coast. We appreciate very much the opportunity to meet here in the County Commission Chambers of Walton County, and we're pleased that County Commissioner Bill Chapman is with us. And Commissioner, you're recognized to welcome us to Walton County, and we very much appreciate your hospitality, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, board members, we surely appreciate y'all coming over here to our county. We welcome you here. We also welcome the audience, if they're not from the immediate area, for their participation. If there's anything my staff can do for y'all while you're here, let us know. We'll try to accommodate anything you may have or need. Okay? Other than that, again, welcome. Thanks for coming to Walton County to hold this meeting. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate you. Ms. Skelton, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Benz?
Here.
Mr. Connolly?
Here.
Dr. Dana?
Here.
Senator Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Here.
Mr. Riggs?
Here.
Mr. Shove?
Here.
A full quorum present.
Quorum being present, the meeting is called to order. Do any members have any opening comments or remarks? Mr. Lee, anything from your side of the street?
No, sir.
Dr. Dana?
I'm good.
You're good. We're glad to see you back.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes, sir.
Speaker Benz?
Thanks.
Mr. Shove?
No, thank you.
Mr. Connolly, the lights are on. All is good. We thank you all for being here, and we realize everyone's busy, so we'll try to move through the agenda as expeditiously as we can. First item is review and approval of our June 12, 2018 minutes. Those minutes are before you. Are there additions or corrections, or is there a motion to approve as presented?
Move approval.
Mr. Connolly moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Shove. Is there debate or discussion? Does any member object? Showed adopted. Let's move on to the staff report. Our executive director, Ms. Skelton. And Ms. Skelton, you're recognized, and thank you for all the good work you've been doing since we were together last.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reiterate again, you all have an excellent team out there working 24/7, as it were, even back and forth with London this week, so we're staying on top of what's going on in the world. But to the staff report, I just wanted to let you know that the legal services contract with the Clark Partington Law Firm is up for renewal in August, and I believe that the firm has done a good job, and we do have a couple of questions that Senator Gates and I need to discuss with the Auditor General's office before we move to the next contract. And so I believe that, Senator Gates, it would be your request to the board to allow you to go ahead and negotiate that contract renewal with Clark Partington at the satisfaction of the questions and issues that we have before us.
Ms. Skelton, that's I appreciate your comments. Speaker Benz was very careful in directing us, and I don't mean to blame him, I mean to give him credit, to make sure that we had the right kind of contract with our law firm. And we were able to achieve contractually a deep discount, but we were able to achieve operationally a deep discount. And it turns out now that according to the information that the law firm has presented to me, that we're paying about $124 an hour for legal services, which seems like a lot of money to a country boy, but like me. But at the same time, that is considerably less than the charge that they usually make. We expect to continue to get a discount, but I want to prepare the board for the fact that we are very likely going to have to enter into a contract for this next year that that will yield to the firm itself certainly more than the deep discount which they provided so far. We did a performance review of the law firm, and we reported that performance review to you previously. We're very satisfied with Clark Partington, but my expectation is that we will be bringing you a contract for next year that will allow them to receive more than $124.65 per hour. I would like, if the board approves, unless there's objection, I'd like to ask our treasurer, Mr. Riggs, to review the law firm's billings to satisfy himself as to where we are, and to separately from me talk with the law firm in preparation for any kind of proposal we would make to the board. Is there any objection to Mr. Riggs being asked to do that?
No.
If not, please show that in the record. The second thing I would just mention with respect to the law firm is that when we entered into our contract with them for projects that are $10 million or less, that's included in their general counsel services and in the contract we have with them, which is a set fee contract. But we indicated in our existing contract that if there was a project that came in that was above $10 million, that would be a separate agreement for special counsel fees. I would just let the board know that we have on our agenda today a contract that, if approved, or a project that, if approved, would require us to use the special contract provision that we have, and so we'll take that up at that time depending upon the board's action. The other point I would make is simply a technical one, and that is that our contract with the law firm may end days before the board would meet again, so I would ask the board's permission to extend on a month-to-month basis our existing relationship with Clark Partington until we're able to bring back to this board at its next meeting Mr. Riggs and my recommendation to you with respect to this contract going forward. Is there a motion that would authorize us to continue to operate with Clark Partington based on the current contract arrangements on a month-to-month basis until our next board meeting?
So moved.
Moved by Speaker Benz. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Lee. Is there debate? Is there discussion? Does any member object? Showed adopted. Ms. Skelton?
The next order of business is just to remind the board that the Auditor General is conducting its annual operational audit, and we will be holding an entrance conference with the Auditor General's team that is here at our meeting today, and we are working with each of you, as you know, to perform the interviews that they need to have with you individually. If you've not yet had your interview, we'll ask you to stay after the meeting and arrange for that to occur. I don't think they take very long. So that's that part of the request. Also, Mr. Chairman, as we discussed, my contract requires a performance review, and the original committee that was appointed was Mr. Bentz and Mr. Connolly. Mr. Connolly's duties have precluded his ability to further that discussion, so we would need to appoint at least one more member to a performance review committee for my review.
Speaker, would you have any suggestions there, sir?
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Speaker, would it be agreeable with you that Dr. Dana would serve with you in that capacity?
Right.
Doctor, would you serve?
Certainly.
All right. Unless there's objections, seeing no objection, let the record show that Speaker Benz and Dr. Dana will do the Executive Director's performance review and report back at the next board meeting.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, that concludes my report.
Are there any questions or comments or discussion relative to Ms. Skelton's report? If not, let's move to the finance report. On Treasurer, Mr. Riggs.
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. In front of you from Tipton Marlar, you have a set of financial statements. If you can turn to the first page, this is our statement of financial position, or our balance sheet. This looks a little bit different than prior months because we now have comparative financials looking at this year compared to last year. Everything is very similar to the previous months. Again, we have around $300 million in cash. We have our interest payable that we pay every month to DEO. And other than that, the balance sheet's relatively clean. on page 2, our statement of activity, again, our profit and loss statement. This is for the month ended June 30th, 2018, compared to 2017. And again, you can see, in June we spent around $65,000, which is currently in line with our budget. There are various supplemental schedules associated with these financial statements. The only thing I'm going to draw your attention to is if you'll turn to page 12 or 13. This is an additional schedule that we've put in there, and this shows by county projects that we have committed to and whether we have signed a contract or not. So this will be useful going forward as you look by county, kind of the projects that we're doing in those areas. So, Mr. Chairman, unless there's any other questions, I'd like to make a motion to move to approve these financial statements.
We'll take the motion and a second if we get one, and then we'll take questions. Or second to Mr. Riggs' motion.
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. All right, the financial report is before you. Are there questions, comments, suggestions? Mr. Speaker.
What's the status of our interest from the EO, and how much is it? It's not reflected on the P&L.
Yeah.
We didn't receive it yet.
Yeah, we have not received it yet. Last month, we earned around $500,000. So the total accumulated since the beginning is around $4.4 million. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you have any additional comments on the timing of when we may get this money back from DEO or Susan, because my understanding is it's in process.
Correct. This was, as we discussed earlier, a normal course of business for DEO budget office to do the transfer of the funds over to Triumph, that it did not require us to do any additional activity. They have to send a report to the governor's office, which they did the 1st of June, and then the governor's office signs off on it, and then they make the transfer to our bank account per their banking instructions at DEO. So we expect to see it show up in July. If for some reason we don't see it in July, then we'll go track it down. But under their normal course of activity at DEO, it would come to us after the start of the budget year, which was July the 1st.
But we did get legislation passed that directed DEO to send the interest we'd earned, which they have been receiving, back to us.
Yes.
What time frame was that? 12/31/17?
No, sir. It was the balance as of June 30.
Okay, June 30, 18?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good.
And Speaker, I want to make sure that your mic is on. Is Speaker Bam's mic on?
Is it working now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I had it backwards.
No, no problem. Further comments or questions? If not, the motion is before you. Is there a debate or a discussion? Does any member object? If not, show it adopted. Let's move to the legal report. Alan Manning is here representing Clark Partington today. Mr. Manning is the contract guy in the firm, and so we're pleased to have exactly the right person with us to comment on where we are with our contract discussions with Okaloosa County and Wakulla County and Bay County. Mr. Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today there are two contracts up for approval by the board, as well as one term sheet. I'll note also that on the two contracts, a summary of the contracts was posted on the board's website on July 3rd in accordance with the Florida statute, so the proper notice was given for the approval to happen today. I'll just give you a very quick summary, and then if there are any specific questions, I'm happy to answer them. On the Okaloosa County contract, this is a contract of a grant award for $1.5 million for the water and sewer main extensions along Highway 90 East. This is a project where there's going to be a bid for the work to be done. Okaloosa County does have the ability to participate in that bidding process, but the process happens in accordance with the normal statutory bidding procedures. The disbursements are made as work is completed. In this grant, the Triumph grant amount represents about 54.3% of the total estimated project cost. So the way the award is set up is that Triumph is in effect paying 54.3%. Okaloosa County's portion is the 46.7%. So as the invoices are submitted, Triumph pays 54.3% of those. The contract also has the performance metrics that were worked out, as well as a clawback provision. Any questions on the Okaloosa contract?
Other questions? Any questions by any board member? Any comments? We will take public comment as well. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on the Okaloosa County Highway 90 project, which is project number 43 on our list? Any members of the public who wish to speak for or against this project, or to offer information or comment on the project? Any public comment? Is there any public comment on this project, the Okaloosa County project? If not, we will entertain a motion to approve the contract as it's been posted. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Riggs. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Connolly. Is there a debate or discussion? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Mr. Connolly, you voted twice.
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
With all members voting, 7-0, unanimous.
Schoaf adopted. Mr. Manning, you're still up.
Okay, the next one is the Wakulla County School District project. This is a grant award in the amount of $3,926,867 for some purchase of some equipment and construction of some improvements. The disbursement mechanism on this one is that $180,000 will be dispersed within 30 days of the contract execution. That's to be used for the purchase of some identified computers and other equipment. The next money that goes out the door is the $375,000 match that the school district has agreed to pay. So they will pay their entire match out before any additional Triumph money is dispersed. Once they've done that, then the Triumph money is dispersed as the construction is completed. One thing in this agreement is that the school district does have an affirmative obligation to go out into the community and try to seek donations to support this project, either money or in-kind contributions of equipment. They're obligated to do that, and to the extent that they do get some donations, there's a 50-50 reduction in the amount of the Triumph award. And then, again, this has the clawback and performance metrics. One thing I want to mention to the board, there was one minor typographical error in the contract that you all have, and since it involves dollars, I want to point it out just to make sure that everyone's clear. In paragraph 4.2 on page 5, in the very first line, the total project cost or estimated project cost, it says in the draft that you have $4,121,867. That should have been $4,301,867. And the discrepancy occurred because of the $180,000 equipment purchase that was added to the application in an amendment, but didn't get put into the total project cost. And so when you approve this contract, I would ask that the motion include the correction of that number in 4.2. Okay, it's already written on your copies. Okay, so we're good on that. Any questions on the Wakulla contract?
Questions?
Speaker Banks. An observation. It basically says that the schools will do their dead level best to get the private sector to participate. Have we quantified that? Or just we'll try hard?
There's not a specific amount that we're looking for. They do have to submit reports on their efforts, and they've actually done that, I think, so far.
Okay.
The staff has already gotten some indications, correspondence, and other things that they're doing. And they have to continue to do that, and, in fact, it's a condition to Triumph's obligation to disperse grant funds that they continue to show us that they're making those efforts.
I just know once you've given the money out, it's like Ben Lee in the banking business. Once you've made that loan and you still have documentation to get, once you gave them the money, it's tough to get them to follow up.
Yeah, you know, I'll just add one quick thing. The extent of their efforts is they've drafted a letter that is going to be sent to interested parties requesting that they contribute to this. So that is the effort they are undertaking.
And I'm fine with everything. I just want to make sure that there are provisions that sort of push them to follow up with the private sector.
And Ms. Henderson, I'm sorry, Speaker.
I'm okay.
Ms. Henderson is part of her responsibility is compliance and follow up, and so therefore we would look to her to make sure that these efforts are ongoing and that that there's a report to the board about those efforts. I think it would probably be a good idea that. That our friends from Wakulla County, who've done a very good job on this project, maybe make a report in person about their efforts in that regard at some future meeting of the board. Ms. Henderson, did you have any comment?
I was going to offer that they are here today if you'd like to hear about their
comments. Yes, we'd like to hear about it. Would our friends from Wakulla County come forward? It's nice to see you again.
Hi. Thank you for
having me. And for the record, please identify yourself, and that way we can immortalize you.
My name is Sunny Chansey, Chief Academic Officer, Wakulla County School Board, and I'm here on behalf of our school board and our superintendent, Robert Pierce. We did indeed draft a letter, and we sent it over 50 recipients of the letter. We have already received some in-kind donations, which was really impressive and very exciting because I really didn't anticipate. We sent it all over the state, Pensacola. We sent it down to Orange County, Miami-Dade, and we have received response. And so we are documenting that, and I'll follow up. We sent a spreadsheet to Ms. Henderson, a copy of the letter, and notification, and we'll do it semi-annually from here on out.
Any comments or questions from Ms. Chance? If not, I would just say that we appreciate those efforts. Speaker's right that that oftentimes the incentive to produce extra effort begins to wane after the check is cut. So we know that won't be the case, will not be the case with Wakulla County Schools. And the more you can get the community involved in this project, the more it will live on long after you've used these funds and done the good work that you've laid out before us.
Just a positive note, they are really excited. Just the phone calls that we've received, it's a really positive note for our community. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? If not, thank you very much, ma'am. Let's go to public comment. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak for or against this project or to offer information to the board about the project other than Ms. Chance? Any members of the public wish to speak on the project? Any public comment on this project? This is the Wakulla County School Board Career and Technical Education Project, project number 29. If If not, a motion would be in order to approve the project as it has been advertised and described with the technical Scrivener's error corrected as you've seen. Is there such a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move, consistent with staff's recommendation, the term sheet for Wakulla County School Board to finalize this contract.
You've heard the motion. There's a second by motion by Mr. Shove, second by Dr. Dana. Is there discussion or debate? Any discussion or debate? Madam Executive Director, please call the roll.
Mr. Chair, before I do, I'd like to say a special thank you to Dr. Fuller, who's worked very closely.
Is Dr. Fuller here?
Dr. Fuller is here.
He's hiding back there, Dr. Fuller. Could you wave so we... I see the hand. There he is.
He's done a great job both with Wakulla County and with other school districts throughout the region, so just wanted to thank him for that work.
He's still wearing a sandwich board with the statement Mr. Shelf made about him that he's a genius. He has impressed his wife and his neighbors. I knew he was a genius before, so we appreciate Dr. Fuller's efforts.
And Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Shove?
Yes.
And by your vote, Mr. Chairman, 7-0 unanimous for the motion.
Showed adopted. Thank you very much. Let's move to the term sheet review for the Bay County School Board HVAC training project. And Mr. Manning, you're recognized, and then we would like to hear from Dr. Fuller about this project.
Okay. This is a proposed grant award in the amount of $614,000. The disbursement on this, there's a $30,000 of that is allocated toward a pilot program. $15,000, half of that initial $30,000, will be dispersed within 30 days of signing the contract, the balance of it at a later date. The next money that goes out the door is $450,000 toward the construction. That will be dispersed as construction is completed. And the final $134,000 is allocated toward equipment and furnishings and things like that. That will be dispersed as invoices are submitted and approved. Just as was the case with the Wakulla contract, this term sheet proposes an obligation on the part of Haney Technical to seek in-kind contributions from the business community. And it has the performance metrics and clawbacks that have been worked out.
Dr. Fuller, would you offer any comments you'd like to make on this project, sir? Bay County, sir. The Bay County HVAC. Haney.
I think one of the key pieces for this project is the clause we added to allow the follow-up of the students who complete their program there. After a three-year period, a point for graduation. I'm sorry. 3 years after graduation, the school will make available to the contractor services to make sure that if the person employed has some weaknesses that need to be improved or just forgot, they can come back to the school and be refreshed in a timely manner that fits the construction plans of the provider. It's also going to be provided for welding, so they're doing both services even though we're just getting an approval here for HVAC. The welding piece speaks to the changes I think they've made at Haney to bring the school up to what they consider appropriate response to the demand for jobs in the community, and they should be committed for the services. I hope we're able to do a lot more work with Haney the next 3 years concerning their goals in their community.
Other questions for Dr. Fuller, or is the applicant here? Would you come forward, please, ma'am? And just stand right there next to Dr. Fuller.
Thank you.
Do you have any further comment about the project that you'd like to share with the board before we vote on the term sheet?
And not specifically about the project. I was not able to join you at the last meeting, and I just want to share my appreciation and our gratefulness to the board for your consideration for the project. We're very excited about it.
Are there questions of board members about this project? Mr. Connolly.
Could she introduce herself, please?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Sorry, I'm Ann Leonard. I'm the director at Haney Technical Center. Thank you.
Mr. Connolly.
Thank you. Thank you for being recognized. This goes to our lawyer. Just want to make sure the obligation to seek business support, is this intended to be structured identical to the way the Wakulla?
Yes.
Yes.
Was structured.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Further comments or questions? If not, thank you both very much. We'll go to public comment. Are there members of the public who would like to speak for or against this project or to provide information that the board might find useful in making its decision? Any public comment? Any public comment on our project 143, the Bay County School Board HVAC training project? We, in making our initial approval, we had two board members who recused themselves from voting. Do we have any recusals at this point?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure, and I'm continuing to recuse myself.
All right. Speaker Benz and Mr. Lee are abstained from voting for reasons that they indicated at the prior meeting. I think Mr. Lee is a member of the advisory board at Haney. And
I actually serve on the foundation board.
The foundation board. I apologize. And Speaker Benz, one of his businesses is involved in this industry. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That being the case, is there a motion to approve the term sheet and authorize our legal counsel to move to contract?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Connolly. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Riggs. Is there a debate or discussion? Debate or discussion? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, 5-0 with Mr. Benz and Mr. Lee abstaining.
Showed adopted. Let's move to program administration and go to Dr. Harper's report. He has some very extensive and interesting projects to report on today. And Dr. Harper, thank you for your substantial work on these and other projects, and you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have before us today two applicants, City of Pensacola for their commercial aircraft maintenance campus and Santa Rosa for the Whiting Aviation Park. They do have representatives here to speak to these projects. And Mr. Chairman, would you like me to speak first or the applicants to speak first?
Dr. Harper, if you would explain the projects and give your analysis, and then we'd love to hear from the applicants.
Thank you. The Pensacola Airport Maintenance Repair and Overhaul Facility is requesting $56 million in Triumph funds that will support, standing shoulder to shoulder with other funding partners, construction of three hangars comprising over 500,000 square feet of maintenance repair overhaul hangar space, along with 100,000 square feet of warehouse and shop space, 120,000 square foot admin building, and the associated roadways, taxiways, and aprons. As we look at this from an economic perspective, this is clearly the largest ask that has come before the Triumph Board. However, staff's opinion is that this project has some of the characteristics that the Triumph Board has been looking for and has found in several projects. This project will be transformative for the local economy. And the jobs that are committed in the proposal at 1,325 tend to be high wage. They tend to have large spin-off effects in the local economy, as do high wage jobs, and throughout the supply chain. There is certainly the likelihood over time that additional businesses active in the maintenance, repair, overhaul supply chain will choose to locate in Northwest Florida, close to this project, in order to take advantage of the skill sets that are there. The project proposal contains estimates of economic impact that were provided by the Haas Center at UWF. I've done additional calculations. It's appropriate that the Haas Center report contained estimates that were based on statewide economic multipliers because the project is applying for state of Florida incentives, and the state, of course, is very interested in what the total jobs impact will be because, as we know, about 18% of jobs in Escambia County are held by people who go home every night to Santa Rosa County to sleep, for example. So the statewide impact is of interest. I've done additional calculations looking at the Escambia County-specific impacts of the project, and the numbers that are there inform us both in terms of jobs and informs us in terms of local fiscal impact. The net number of new jobs that I have calculated using the appropriate economic impact modeling tools is over 3,100 jobs in Escambia County alone. The statewide jobs number is larger than that. And as we look at the local fiscal impact, the to revenues, to city, to county, to the school district, it totals some $6.6 million, and that comes from predictable sources. If we look, for example, at the number of new households that will need to locate in Escambia County, Escambia residents hold about 64% of the jobs that are located in Escambia County. It's a big influx and outflux of workers every day, but analysis suggests that just over 2,000 new households will be formed in Escambia County due to creation of Project Titan, the MRO facility. This means that there will need to be new housing construction of the types that is typically found in Escambia County. That will have a non-recurring fiscal impact approaching $50 million in the local economy. Now, if we look at the ongoing revenue impacts, those come from ad valorem property tax revenues. We could expect to see in the local area about $3.5 million increment to property taxes and an additional, so that flows to the city and to the county, and then an additional $2.2 million that flows to the school district. That's in ad valorem taxes. If we look then at ongoing local sales tax collections due to the spending of these households in the local economy, my calculations suggest, and of course sales tax is charged by the county in the form of local option sales tax, not by the city or the school board, but that should total about $900,000 per year from the additional households that will be located in Escambia County and do their Escambia spending there, $900,000 per year to the Board of County Commissioners. The project proposal goes farther in specifying an additional source of impact because airlines do not want to deadhead their planes in and out of Pensacola. They don't want to fly empty planes in and out. The increment to passengers is estimated to be over 5%, perhaps peaking at 7% additional air passenger traffic into the Pensacola airport as the facilities operate at expected capacity. If we look at Visit Florida figures, the increment of 50,000 visitors, which would be based on expected growth in Pensacola airport traffic, the 50,000 incremental visitors that are attributable to the MRO facility times standard Visit Florida figures of $12 in local tax revenue per visitor would produce an additional $600,000 in local tax revenue accruing largely to Escambia County. So when we look at the $2 million increment to property tax revenues to the county, plus the sales tax as well as tourism development tax increment of $1.5 million per year. The local fiscal impacts are likely to be quite positive because the incremental cost of servicing this new population will be low relative to the high fixed costs that are in place for operating local services. The marginal, the incremental costs will be relatively low. And so that new revenue represents a substantial benefit to the local community, and that, of course, is above and beyond the ground lease revenue that will be associated with rental of the property itself to the tenant that is expected to locate at the Pensacola Airport. So there are substantial positive local fiscal impacts. That's something that's not explicitly laid out in the proposal. Other basics are there, and it's an exciting project, and I look forward to further discussion of it.
Other questions for Dr. Harper? Before we hear from the applicant, I note the application ran to over 600 pages. It defended itself against the likelihood of actually being read.
Successfully,
yes, sir. But I gave up, I think, after about 200 pages. But let me see if I can clarify a couple of points, Dr. Harper. My understanding of your presentation and of the proposal is that the total cost of this maintenance, repair, and overhaul aviation campus at the airport, the total cost is $334,825,000, beginning to end. Is that true?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And completed so far is the first hangar, which I think some of the folks in this room, including yourself, were able to attend the opening of. The first hangar was completed at a cost of, $59 million. Is that correct?
That's my recollection, Chairman.
Okay. So what we have left to complete the project is $275,460,000. By subtracting what's been done from the 334. Is that correct?
That sounds like correct math to me.
All right. And we have commitments, or the applicant has commitments, from the private sector, as I understand the application, for $59 million, of which $35 million would be in cash to the project, and the other costs would be their hard costs of relocating here. Let me run my numbers down and tell me where I'm wrong here. The city of Pensacola has committed $41,335,000 in site readiness and site preparation and land acquisition, but no cash to this point. Is that correct, sir?
We can get clarification from the consultants to the city on that point.
Is a consultant here? So maybe, yeah, could you step forward, please, and help us? I just want to make sure we've all got the same set of numbers here. Would you identify yourself for the record?
Good morning. My name is David Penzone, and I'm a consultant to the city of Pensacola. I've been working on this project several years.
Okay. So would you help correct me?
Yes.
My understanding is that the private sector, the tenants, will have committed $59 million, of which $35 million is in cash to the project, and the rest is their cost, largely of relocation and bringing their people and their equipment and setting up shop here.
Right. All of which will be cash, basically. I mean, it's tenant
cash at the end,
tenant improvements, relocation costs.
And $35 million in additional cash.
Additional cash.
To in lease payments and that sort of thing.
That's correct. And in the first hangar, their contribution was $7.2 million. So their cash contribution for the development of the hangars is a total of $42.2 million.
And $35 million of that is yet to come.
Correct.
And my understanding is that the city of Pensacola has contributed land acquisition, site preparation, that they value, or you value, at $41,335,000, but no cash. Is that correct?
Well, I'd say that's not correct, because
okay.
The $41 million basically is a cost that the city has incurred based on the utilization of funds from FDOT that allowed the city to acquire the real estate that is now being used to create this MRO Aviation Campus. So money was actually spent, and had that money not been spent on this type of property by the city, it would have been otherwise used in airport resources.
Sure.
So it is city allocation of FDOT funds that have been allocated to acquire land specifically attributable for this enterprise.
That's correct, by my reckoning. But on a going forward basis, there is not a specific additional cash commitment to the $275 million project, right?
The expectation in our planning, and of course, part of our planning is dependent upon the outcome of today's meeting, but the expectation is both the city and the county will contribute cash to this project, and we estimate that to be approximately $20 million. Cash. Now, that's not a firm commitment today, but we're hopeful that given all of the other support that we believe we will receive, not only from the Triumph Board, but from other state and federal agencies, the value and the transformative impact of this project will be fully understood and people will, you know, support it financially.
That squares with my understanding of the application. But before we get to money that we hope to get on the table today, so far we have $41,335,000 worth of land and site improvements by the city.
Correct.
Certainly, cash was used, or cash equivalents was used in order to achieve that. But at the moment, we have no cash commitment by the city going forward. But we expect to have it, right?
That's accurate.
All right. And from the county, same thing.
That's accurate. Yes.
No cash commitment at the moment.
At the moment.
Okay.
That's not to say that we haven't had significant conversations about future cash commitments. But you're correct. There's not.
Trying to distinguish between conversations and cash.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And from FDOT, you have in hand commitments for $25 million against the $275 million cost of completing the overall project, correct?
That's right.
All right. And you have a legislative appropriation arranged by our Northwest Florida delegation,
yep,
of $3 million. That's already in hand.
That's right.
And the governor's job fund, Governor Scott, has committed $4 million.
That's
a hard commitment. That's in hand.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I apologize to fellow board members. I'm just trying to make sure we all understand things. As you said, you hope now we're going to go to hope for money.
Mm-hmm.
Money we're requesting, had a lot of conversations, made applications for.
Correct.
$20 million is hoped for, expected from the city and the county.
That's correct.
FDOT, you're requesting another $25 million. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
The governor's job fund, you're requesting another $15 million, right?
That's right.
Okay. And then from the federal government, you're requesting another $17 million.
We file an application.
Have an application.
Correct.
And then you're requesting from Triumph $56 million.
That is it.
And even after all of that, there's still a little bit of a shortfall, about a $10,125,000 shortfall, right?
Sir, that's correct.
Okay. I simply wanted to wear the board's patience out with that run of numbers so that you'll understand that there are a lot of partners who are going to have to step forward in order to make this work. As Speaker Benz has said, we're not the senior partner, we're the junior partner with the cherry on top. Our $56 million is big money to us. It's the biggest money that we've ever talked about for one project. But it constitutes only a small portion of a $275 million completion of a $334 million project.
That's exactly right, and we are truly appreciative of your consideration of that.
And so we're looking for, in addition to the $56 million that is being requested from Triumph, there's another $75 million that needs to be acquired from other funding sources. From the state, from the feds, from the city, from the county, before we have all the money that we need to do all the things that you want to do with this important project,
that's
right?
That's a very accurate statement. The only thing I would add to that, just in terms of color to the conversation, is we have had significant conversations over the last probably 60 days with all of our funding partners and feel very optimistic that the information that we're putting out there in terms of expected funding, we have reasonable optimism that that will occur. So it's not like we're going to start tomorrow trying to raise $75 million. We've been working on that for quite some time.
Right. Are there questions? Mr. Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to get Dave to comment on, it's a bit of a hypothetical, but to follow on with your line of questioning, not to quibble with your number, I think it's closer to $87 million, based on my math. It's not yet committed. But regardless, 75 or 87 is a big number.
Okay.
What if this board were to agree today, contingent upon you acquiring these other funds to approve the $56 million request, how soon would you know definitively that you've covered the entire gap?
My best professional estimate on that, given where I believe we stand with respect to the other funding partners, is that over the next two-part answer, over the next 30 days with respect to state funding, I think we'll have a very good grasp of how that turns out. I'm a little less optimistic time-wise with respect to the federal funding, because it's simply a longer process and a little bit more out of, you know, sort of our direct control. I think we might get some strong signals from the federal EDA as to whether or not our application will be approved and approved at the level that we're applying for. But 30 days is unrealistic with respect to the federal EDA application. That might be more like 90 days.
Following?
Yes, sir.
So subtract the 17 federal. You're saying within 30 days of today, in this hypothetical, you think you could have confidence in the remainder?
I think so, yes. That's what I think. We may not have formal grant contracts in place, but I feel like we'll have firm commitments.
Okay, thank you.
And I may be optimistic on that, but there's been a lot of groundwork that has been already laid.
Further questions? Speaker Benz.
Again, I'm like Stan. I went through the math. I showed short. 85. What were you at 80? We're using these little things too, not real calculators. But and that's assuming everything goes like you just talked about. We're at 56, and I was busy calculating. You may have already answered this. So what if you're short $33 million?
If we're short $33 million, we are going to continue to work with our financial funding partners to close that gap. I mean, at this stage, this project is too important to allow that. I mean, that's a significant number, no doubt about it.
It's small.
We're talking about a $334 million project, and we're $33 million. Let's use that number, $33 million away. We're going to close that gap.
Further comments or questions? Mr. Riggs.
I'm curious, Dr. Harper, how much cash are these leases going to generate on a yearly basis?
The application mentioned $1.5 million in lease fees annually.
That would be accurate. That would be the rental income from the tenant to the city of Pensacola.
Okay.
keep in mind, these are triple net leases, so that all of the cost of repair, upkeep, maintenance is an obligation of the tenant. So the city basically is collecting the rent.
Okay. Again, we've talked about the big gap right now on the source of funding that's not yet been committed. So I think, you know, I would personally have a hard time committing $56 million knowing that there's this big gap there. Now, if the gap was closed, then we're talking about a real project. Two things. One, you mentioned you go back to different partners and talk to them about if you were $30 million short. Okay, I would start having those discussions with them now, because not everything's going to be on the come. You're not going to get all of it. You may get a significant portion of it, but more than likely someone's going to say no. The other thing is I would consider using your additional rental income to potentially borrow some money, knowing that you're going to generate $1.5 million a year in lease income. So that's an additional funding source that you could use. I see a lot of people reluctant to throw debt on here, but if you know you're going to generate that amount of cash flow, you're going to be able to borrow some amount of money that may help you close your gap on when someone does say no.
So I understand your comments, and a couple of points on that. First of all, with respect to addressing our funding partners, I think it's absolutely critical, and I don't think we came in here expecting an unconditional commitment of funds. I fully expect that from the Triumph Board, the $56 million application would be conditional upon us closing the gap and getting full funding for the project. But once we have the conditional application from the Triumph Board, I think that sends a very strong message and creates a tremendous amount of positive momentum to all of the other financial funding partners out there to basically say, you know, we've got the entire community behind this project. People will, and I believe based on all the conversations we have had, the mayor has had, and the mayor can speak to this as well, significant conversations with people in the decision-making capability to fund this project, I have a reasonable basis to feel optimistic that we will close that gap. If funding through borrowing is necessary, that's also an option. In fact, we did that on hangar number one because we had a timing gap between the availability of FDOT funds and the need to spend the money. So we did, in fact, do, as you suggested, we did a bridge finance to carry us to that point in time. It's certainly not our objective to have to borrow, and the chief financial officer of the city of Pensacola would have to weigh in, and our bond council would have to weigh in. I mean, there's a lot of other complications associated with borrowing, but it's not out of the question that would be something that, if that's necessary to get us across the finish line, that's something we would evaluate and have evaluated in the past. But I do feel reasonably confident that we will be able to achieve our objective of raising this $210 million.
Further questions at this point, Mr. Connolly? Yes, sir, Mr. Riggs.
Again, you know, looking at this project, it is a project that I've been looking for. The nature of the project, what can offer. I'm interested to hear the board's comments on if we were to do some sort of conditional approval, meaning we're the last dollars. Our $56 million will come. You know, could we give them some sort of conditional guarantee of if you were to fill this gap, then yes, we would fund it? Is that something that the board is interested in doing? Any comments on that? Because I understand the point. If the gentleman has a conditional guarantee for 56, it lights a little fire underneath some of the other funding sources to say, okay, well, Triumph's in. Okay, let's just go ahead and, you know, make a decision on whether we're going to be able to fund this or not. Any thoughts or comments?
Sure. Speaker, when this project was $130 million, I had no interest. I just thought it was too much on our part. At $56 million, I have a lot of interest. I think it'll generate a lot of jobs. I have a question. The county's only in for $10 million. Hopefully they'll be in for $10 million. What's going on? I mean, this benefits the county,
Of course,
as much or more than the city.
Well, I think it's a negotiation with the county as well as with the city. I mean, part of our objective is to try to make sure that everybody contributes fairly.
Sure.
And we certainly will have additional conversations with council members.
I hope you will.
And commissioners to increase that.
I think it's very important. But I'm with Mr. Riggs. Sometimes you can't catch a rabbit with your dog tied up. I've said that before.
Right.
We got to put that $56 million out there, get the dog out in the hunt, but we make it conditional to, getting this additional money and things like that. But I think it gives them incentives to perhaps pony up more money and get the county involved as well.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Connolly, Chairman, I would support the position Speaker Benz just took. I would be willing to enter into some sort of contingent agreement here with some time limit on it. I think we don't need to leave it open-ended. I'm not sure I agree that 30 days is practical. I love your optimism. But look, I think some of the nature of these funding sources is, quite frankly, where we are in the calendar. The Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund really is in its first 45 days, or even less than that, first month, given the state's fiscal year. So I think it's understandable that some of these sources aren't yet pinned down. But I also don't think we need to let $56 million sit on the sideline very long. It needs to be put to work with some urgency on behalf of the applicant to get these locked in quickly, as best you can.
Right.
And we get a frequent update on that. So we can debate the time frame, but I do think we ought to put some time frame on how long we make it contingent.
Further comments, Mr. Lee.
Chairman, I would like to hear from our legal counsel on the fact that would we be committing $56 million over multiple years? And is that the ask? I assume this project will be in phases, and from reading the application, is that what we're being asked right now?
If I could just respond quickly, and then certainly we can hear from legal counsel. I know, having attended and listened to prior Triumph board meetings, I'll try to represent what I believe is an accurate statement, which is the sense of the Triumph board was that they are comfortable committing funds that are available today, but not comfortable committing funds that are not yet available. Because, as you know, one legislature cannot control the next legislature. So there's always, potential for change. Our request is for $56 million allocation, which would be paid out over time, but we're asking for the commitment for the conditional commitment for $56 million out of the current funds that are in your bank account, not out of a future allocation.
Counsel?
I don't think you're allowed to commit the funds that you don't have already. Isn't that right?
I'm sorry, Speaker Benz will be able to correct me on this. I believe that every contract that for appropriated funds from the legislature contains the provision that the continuance of the contract depends on future legislative appropriations.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have to take the long view that, as I read this project, and I defer to Dr. Harper for any comments, as I read the project, we're looking at a payout at cash flow that would go over 3 or 4 years. And I love to have partners in the funding process. And so therefore, one approach that I would suggest to the board is, if we are going to consider this project, first, that it be exactly as members have already indicated, that it be contingent, that our first dollar in is contingent on the additional dollars that are necessary and that are being requested from other sources being committed or in hand before our first dollar goes in. So you've got the $56 million, if this were to pass, you've got the $56 million to go talk to other people about and say, gee, we can get your money. We already got this money. Mm-hmm. But I'm for the contingency approach. But I also believe that if we're talking about funds that would be paid out over a 3 or 4 year period, that we, like every other entity that relies upon the legislature not undoing a law, because there's a law now, statute now, thanks to Senator Broxson's efforts and Senator Gaynor's efforts and our House members, there's a statute now that says that we don't have to go back through the appropriations process, but rather that the funds will be automatically transmitted to Triumph Gulf Coast as they are received through the federally approved settlement in the out years beginning in 2019. So I look at this project as a big project, and I look at it a little differently than a $2 or $3 million project where it's being done within a short period of time. I would have no problem at all with a project like this being phased in as their cash flow needs are. I see no particular advantage to us in setting $56 million aside when a good share of it won't be used for 2 or 3 years. And so therefore, I feel all right about saying that tranche number one, $20 million is what you're asking for, would be paid out of funds that we have now. Tranche number two would be paid out of funds that we would have the year that you need it. Then, by the way, you're suddenly, we're your partner, and now you're our partner.
Right.
And so I don't have any problem with that, but I'd like to ask Dr. Dana.
Well, maybe I should let Dr. Harper speak first, but I'll go ahead. I like that approach. I like the phased-in approach, and I like the contingency approach. I was uncomfortable about setting aside $56 million, even for a great project like this. I felt uncomfortable about taking $56 million when we know that there's so many other promising projects in other counties. So to have it put aside this year and not being used, to me, is a disservice. So I like that phased-in tranches approach.
Dr. Harper, Mr. Lee, were you prepared to speak?
I had one question before Dr. Harper that I'd like to ask of Dr. Harper before he makes his comments. Dr. Harper mentioned that 64% of the workers at this facility most likely will be coming from Escambia County. He went on further to mention that 17% of the workers will be coming out of Santa Rosa County. I would like to ask the question, has the city of Pensacola and Escambia County worked with Santa Rosa on this project, given that a tremendous amount of benefit will be benefiting them on this? And then my next question would be, is there's 19% left, if my math is right, and would those workers be coming out of Baldwin County, Alabama, Escambia County, Alabama, or where would those workers be coming from that will be benefiting off of this project that the state of Florida is putting in place?
Thank you, Director. I meant to say 18% of the workers would come to Santa Rosa, not 17, which then leaves 1% smaller number to come from other counties. And yes, they will come from Okaloosa County, from Baldwin County, Alabama, from Escambia County, Alabama. And so those counties will see additional payroll flowing to their local area, and shopping will be done in those counties, which is why in my local fiscal impact analysis that I mentioned to you earlier, I took a slightly different approach than the statewide approach that is listed in the project application to narrow that $6.6 million per year recurring impact to the city, the county, and the school board from the additional tax revenue. That's solely in Escambia County.
and what the rest of it, the 36% of spending that will go to residents of other counties, that will flow to those counties. Most of those will be in our 8-county region. So there are big spillover benefits from a project like this, as there always are when high-wage jobs are located in a particular community. People will commute from miles away to hold those jobs.
Further questions of the applicant and of Dr. Harper at this point? Dr. Harper, I'm sorry, Mr.
Dr. Harper, did you do, in our previous analysis, we've done a dollar per job analysis? Because I had a hard time trying to decipher direct versus indirect jobs.
Correct.
Did you do some sort of calculation to give us an idea of whether we're spending $15,000 or $50,000 a job on this?
I did. This will be the highest per job spend that Triumph has considered, which is, in the view of staff, appropriate given the transformative nature of the project and the highly desirable industry sector of aviation aerospace, as well as the good wages. The number of jobs promised in the proposal, we have used the shorthand metric of cost per direct FTE, that is the people actually employed in the project, recognizing that different sectors will have different spin-off effects and that the total impact will differ by sector. Higher wage sectors have higher multipliers because more spending gets done by those households in the local community, whereas sectors where the per-person wages are lower, they don't have the disposable income to spend. And so, having said that, the 1,325 jobs that are promised in the application, if you do the math, that works out to a cost per direct FTE of about $42,000 per job. And by way of comparison, we've looked at lower numbers. We're in the $28,000 per job range for the Port of Panama City, for example, also an infrastructure project. Then, of course, when you add on the indirect and induced jobs, the supply chain jobs, and then the jobs that are induced by the spending of these households, then the cost per job drops substantially. But our shorthand metric is cost per direct FTE.
And to follow up with Mr. Eggs' line of questioning, what does the applicant tell us, and what would we oblige the applicant to produce in terms of an average wage per job?
If I recall correctly, the average wage per job is specified at $44,000.
The average wage is $44,461 per job. That's the average. That number does not include benefits, so other, you know, health and medical, like other benefits that are provided, is in addition to that. The other thing that's not included in that is the payment of overtime, which is a common practice for this company. So $44,461 is the number. That's the commitment, and that's the measurement.
All right. Dr. Harper, did you have a particular recommendation as to how we ought to or might structure our consideration of this project, given the conversation that we've had at the board table?
Yes, the basic recommendation of staff is that this project receive a score of A, that it is transformative in nature. Staff also support the idea and have provided draft language that could constitute the basis for instruction to move to a term sheet that reflect some of the concepts that have been discussed here, that because of this is a large amount relative to our initial tranche of funding that has come to us, that the project, in fact, be staged. That's fair to the counties across the region, that we don't spend the whole thing on this project. And so there is suggested draft language from staff that could serve as the basis for a motion to move to a term sheet.
If you have that draft language, could you read it, please?
Yes, I do. Staff would would ask the board for a motion to approve to move to a term sheet with the City of Pensacola for a $56 million performance-based contract award to support development of the Commercial Aircraft Maintenance Campus project. The term sheet shall contain, at a minimum, the following elements: a Triumph payment of $20 million to be made from funds now in hand for construction of Hangar 2 shall be contingent upon funding from all other sources being in hand or fully committed, including any funding gap that exists today, for the total cost of the project as described on page 53 of the proposal, and a subsequent Triumph payment of $20 million for Hangar 3 shall be made upon on-time and on-budget completion of Hangar 2, including occupation by a tenant and associated progress towards jobs and payroll metrics, and a subsequent Triumph payment of $11 million for Hangar 4 shall be made upon on-time and on-budget completion of Hangar 3, including occupation by a tenant and associated progress towards jobs and payroll metrics, and a subsequent and final Triumph payment of $5 million for warehouses, workshops, and administrative buildings shall be made upon on-time and on-budget completion of Hangar 4, including occupation by a tenant and associated progress towards jobs and payroll metrics, and description of a performance agreement incorporating growth in direct jobs at specified average wage rates and other metrics found in the application, and establishing enforceable clawbacks in the event milestones were not to be met.
Mr. Riggs, I'm sorry, did you wish to speak?
Oh, that was a mouthful.
I'm sorry, I do have another question. I don't know if now's the time to do it. Okay. So, this is a big project. In our packet, we had a schedule of costs. How hard are these costs? Because, again, you know, some of my concern is if we move forward with conditional approval and everything else, and I want to know how hard the costs are, because I don't want to come to fruition, we start getting bids out with another $50 million short. How hard are these?
So the estimate of cost that is in your packet was based on estimates from Atkins, which was the engineering firm responsible for the development of Hangar 1. So they've had the experience, been involved in the bidding process, and are very familiar with the specifications of the buildings that are being proposed in our application. So we believe that based on their professional skill set, which we rely on, that these numbers are good numbers and numbers that we can work against. Having said that, you know, we are not able to control what happens in the economy in the future, including creation of tariffs, for example, which, you know, could or could not impact our project. But based on everything that we know today, we feel confident that these numbers are hard numbers. These are numbers that we just haven't picked out of the air. They're based on professional judgment.
And Mr. Benz, I don't know what you think about this, you being in the industry. Should there be some contingency built in this projection if we're requesting, you know, $334 million in total expenditures? Again, I don't see a contingency line item. As I've seen that in the past. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Before I answer that, how many square feet are these buildings total?
The hangars, hangar number 2 would be 173,000 square feet. Hangars number 3 and 4, I believe, are 191,000 square feet. The shop warehouse is estimated to be about 100,000 square feet, and the administrative headquarters, I believe, is 120,000 square feet.
It was 770,000 square feet.
That's 775, I think, is the
number. What's the cost of the buildings?
I'm sorry?
What's the cost?
Hangar number 2 was estimated at $49 million. Hangars 3 and 4 were estimated at $55 million each. Let's see. The I think the 100,000 square foot shops and warehouse. I apologize. I don't know off the top of my head.
I caught you off the guard. That's pretty not an easy question, but keep going.
The administrative headquarters, I think, was at 24 million, and then I want to say the shops and warehouses was maybe 17, 18 million, something like that.
You're 200 million. Ballpark, would you say it's about right?
Well, we've estimated 210, so there's probably 10 million in there missing
sure.
somewhere.
So 210 and 780,000 square feet?
775.
$4, how much is that square foot? I'm not used to dealing in those kind of numbers.
I will tell you.
Use that trustee. I'll tell you where I'm going in just a second. I'm sure you all know.
There's an accountant in the house, a banker in the house.
While Mr. Conway's doing that calculation, let me add one just fact to the per square foot building's cost. One of the things about an MRO aviation campus, and one of the things that, of course, we experience with hangar number one, is there is a tremendous cost associated with the flat work of these build-outs. The runway, the taxiway.
You're just talking vertical. That's all you're talking about.
Well, the cost that I quoted are all-in cost, including flat work.
Okay.
So if you take out the flat work and only include the vertical, that will give you a better representation.
What's your flat work?
I'd say flat work is probably 35% to 40% of the total project cost.
So that's 60 million, so you're at 140 to build a building. How many square feet? 270 a foot, but we reduce that just for pure buildings. Okay, it's 270 a square foot. 60%.
Take 60% of that number. That's the building.
270 a square foot. So labor costs are going up. So they go up $10 a square foot. That's $70 million on $780,000. I'm to Mr. Ridge's point. It's a very good point. Mm-hmm. And, Doctor, did you say that, Dr. Harper, did you say that we were going to put $20 million up front, or we put the first $20 million when?
The first $20 million, we envision a commitment once the funding commitments are fully enacted.
So maybe from that perspective, with the commitments in place and perhaps hard contracts in place, that might be asking too much. I don't know. I.e., someone that can bond the job saying, we'll build it for $210 million. We'll do it. That clearly eliminates the risk that Mr. Riggs was concerned with. We put our money in after we have a hard set of plans and specs, not $20 million based upon that. $20 million could be eaten up at $10 a square foot. We're down $50 million, you know. I mean, is my math wrong? It's back of the napkin.
No, Speaker, I think you're exactly right. And I would hope that we might include in any motion, if we're going to take up a motion, that that our first $20 million would depend not only on the other funding commitments having already been in, but also that, how did you put it, Speaker, that hard costs for construction have been agreed to or have been bonded, or how would you put it, sir?
That a final set of plans and specifications has been prepared, bids have gone out, and you got prices mm-hmm. to construct those buildings, and those prices are backed by a bond.
Well, that's precisely the procedure that we went through in hangar number one.
Yeah.
And went through an intense bidding process. First of all, we went through an intense design process. We went through an intense bidding process. Then we went back through a value engineering process, redesign process, rebid process, and came up with the best price. So we've been through this before. We know what we're doing. And we're confident that we can deliver this project. But it is a future project, and it will take 4 years to build. So certainly there are uncertainties that standing here today we will not know.
But we want to eliminate uncertainty.
That's right.
I throw money at uncertainty. If I'm not sure, I'll throw money at it.
Our tenant, likewise, is incredibly risk-averse, and therefore we all have the same
interest. Dr. Harper, could you
clean up your wrong word. Can you amend your proposed motion to include the language that Chairman Gates just put in?
Now, the language that Speaker Banz articulated.
Yes, the note that I've made to include a phrase added to the first to the paragraph describing the first payment of $20 million. An additional sentence would say something on the order of hard costs for construction have been agreed to and bonded.
Good, that's fine.
Is that acceptable, Speaker?
Sure. Is that good, Joe?
Further questions? We're, you know, to the audience who are following this at home or here in the room, because we operate in the sunshine, I apologize if this seems like we're building the plane in flight, but we are. We're building this this understanding of our project as we discuss it and as we learn things about it and as directors add value to our discussions.
Mr. Connolly,
sir.
Thank you, sir. And I may be missing it in this package, Dr. Harper and Corey. I see the letters of support from a number of groups in Escambia County and surrounding areas. I don't see the county listed there. Is this among their, have they expressed support formally for this project? And I don't recall whether or not Escambia County ranked there.
Yes, the County Board of County Commissioners has expressed support for this project.
I think I actually have a letter of support from the county, Mr. Connolly, I think.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I do.
If you would, just please provide that to staff. This is not listed in the...
I apologize. It's...
Okay. Thank you.
...in the packet.
Further questions? Yes, sir. Mr. Schoaf.
Not sure that it's important enough to add into the term sheet at this point, but I'm just curious, in our past projects and future projects, is there any language that specifically requires any lease revenue made from any project that Triumph has funded to be earmarked for economic development, or can it go into their general budget?
Mr. Manning?
Council?
In the ones that we've done so far, which are just the two that we approved today in the port and then Haney, no. Now, I don't think in any of those that would have been a scenario. I know the school board is building the building for their own use, so there wasn't a proposed tenant in those. But the short answer is no.
Moving forward, I think it might be something worth discussing and considering that this money is not whipped away and spent somewhere else. Any revenue made off of Triumph funding, I think, should go back into economic development or in your case, to maintain or grow your current investment at this project.
Sir? What is there an earmarked purpose for the $1.5 million in lease payments that would be received from the business tenants in this project, or is that funding not included in what's necessary in order to do the financing for the whole project?
The FAA has fairly rigorous and specific rules about collecting fair market value rent from tenants at the airport, and that the funds from the rental collected need to be used in airport operations. So we would be prohibited from earmarking them in such a way.
Well, you wouldn't be prohibited from earmarking them to pay a bond, or from earmarking them to service a debt, would you, related to the project?
That I am not certain, but I do, and I could defer to John Daniel, who is here as well. John may know, but I do know that the FAA has certain rules and regulations about how those funds are collected and used.
Well, this goes, please come forward, Ms. Daniel. This goes to Mr. Rigg's question, that if all the king's horses and all the king's men don't show up in the right place with the right amounts of money, and you have to borrow some money to make this happen, can you use the $1.5 million to service that debt?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
For debt service, but there would be restrictions on earmarking it for other purposes.
but you would use it for airport operations, including the further development of the airport for the economic benefit of the community, right?
Absolutely. See, the airport is a closed economic enterprise. No money spins off to the city from the airport, and no money comes in from the city to the airport. It's all a self-contained unit. And kind of the in essence of it is that to the extent that any there's an operating shortfall at the airport, the airlines end up making that shortfall up in the payment of landing fees. So it's not like we can take money out of the airport and use it for anything else. It does have to stay in the airport.
Mr. Chairman?
Speaker.
I don't think we should require that. I'm very mindful. It was a good idea by Mr. Lee, but let that be your back pocket. If you got to borrow 15, 20 million at the end, pledge that lease. But I think it might hem them up a little bit if we put that as a requirement. But I think make sure it's in your thinking cap. That's just my own personal thought. But it's good to hear you can pledge it. Mr. Lee?
First of all, John, I'd like to compliment you and the city of what you've done so far on the first phase. I had an opportunity to tour the facility, and I agree with many of my fellow members. This is a great project and a beautiful campus that you're just getting started on. With that being said, I just wanted to, I know we had a lot of conversation around the numbers. How old were what was the date with the last Atkins numbers that came in on the cost estimate of the facility?
I think we probably talked to them within
the spring.
I was going to say 30 to 60 days. I mean, it's pretty fresh.
Okay.
And Mr. Daniel, could you identify yourself for the record, please?
John Daniel, attorney with Beggs and Lane, outside counsel to the airport.
Thank you. Further questions for either of these gentlemen, or further comment about the structure of a motion that we may or may not consider? All right. The mayor of the city of Pensacola, Ashton Hayward, is here. Mr. Mayor, before we structure a motion or take any action or fail to take action, we'd be grateful to have any comments you'd like to make. Want to thank you for your leadership on this project, and also want to thank the Escambia County Commission for their help with hitting our number one and for their strong interest and support of the project as well, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you, Chairman Gates, and I want to thank the whole board of directors of Triumph Gulf Coast and thank the staff and the great work that you've done on behalf of Triumph. And I heard everything that you said over there sitting in the audience, and most importantly, I want to say thank you for your comments and your questions. This is a transformational project for Northwest Florida and the great state of Florida. And I think that we can all agree here that politicians don't create jobs. We create the environment for companies to come into our state and to our community and our region to bring 2,000 jobs to Northwest Florida. And I strongly feel some of the comments that were made, I can only speak for myself, but since I've been the mayor for 8 years, I've constantly thought about our region in Northwest Florida and how we were going to improve that. And one of the most important things, I think there's a social aspect to this as well. When children see their parents going off to work and you have 2,000 families, that's going to drive them to want to have a job and to create that pipeline. If you think about talent as a new currency, we're going to create a pipeline of talent that are going to be able to work here, stay here in Northwest Florida, and stay in our great state of Florida. This is a company that we are recruiting out of Alabama to Florida. If you think about it, it's a $7+ billion company. They're a great corporate citizen. We're working with Pensacola State College. I know the Triumph Board also allocated a grant to them. So we're creating that talent that will stay in Northwest Florida and obviously Pensacola, Florida, and working with Washington High School and the other trade schools in Pensacola. So I think the mission was obviously to be transformational. I strongly feel this project is transformational.
additional for our region and for Florida. I don't want us to lose sight on that. I think one of the big things that all of you know, but which is very important, is when you think about the annual income to Florida is going to be $400 million, and the GDP off this project is going to be $600 million to Florida. The MRO industry right now is at $76 billion, and it's going to grow to $109 million over the next 9 years. So to have an incredible company like this that's a great corporate citizen that wants to partner with our region, I hope we can work together. And again, as Senator Gates said, I want to partner with Triumph. I understand this is very important to the city, the county, and I heard what Speaker Ben said about this, the county working with the city and all of us working together. This is a big team effort. It's been a collaborative effort, and I've lived and breathed this project. I can only speak for myself for the last 6 years, and I'm going to continue to live and breathe it the next 135 days in my administration. So I just want to say thank you to the staff, and thank you to the audience, and I'm here to support the great Northwest Florida and our great state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Dr. Harper, could you recapitulate, please, and Ms. Skelton, help us out here as well, to capture the what Speaker Ben said and the comments that others have contributed, for which I think we have consensus. Can you read to us what a motion might contain, and then we'll take further discussion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to reread the whole motion or simply the changes? Okay. I see Director.
Would we like to hear the entire motion, please?
Staff asks the board for a motion to approve moving to a term sheet with the City of Pensacola for a $56 million performance-based contract award to support development of the Commercial Aircraft Maintenance Campus project. The term sheet shall contain, at a minimum, the following elements: a Triumph payment of $20 million to be made from funds now in hand for construction of Hangar 2 shall be contingent upon funding from all other sources being in hand or fully committed, including any funding gap that exists today, for the total cost of the project as described on page 53 of the proposal. Hard costs for construction have been agreed to and bonded, and a subsequent Triumph payment of $20 million for Hangar 3 shall be made upon on-time and on-budget completion of Hangar 2, including occupation by a tenant and associated progress towards jobs and payroll metrics. And a subsequent Triumph payment of $11 million for Hangar 4 shall be made upon on-time and on-budget completion of Hangar 3, including occupation by a tenant and associated progress towards jobs and payroll metrics, and a subsequent and final Triumph payment of $5 million for warehouses, workshops, and administrative buildings shall be made upon on-time and on-budget completion of Hangar 4, including occupation by a tenant and associated progress towards jobs and payroll metrics, and description of a performance agreement incorporating growth in direct jobs at specified average wage rates and other metrics found in the application, and establishing enforceable clawbacks in the event milestones were to be not met.
Are there additions or corrections, alterations that you might want to make in this draft motion? Mr. Connolly.
And just as I listen to that, I'm wondering how long this is good for.
That's a good point. That's an issue that's been raised. Is there a sense, Mr. Connolly, as to how long you'd like this contingent approval to be good for?
Well, certainly I think some of the things Mr. Pinzone talked to us about we could reasonably expect to get an answer on the funding within the next few months. The federal dollars are unclear. Maybe there ought to be at least some progress made over the next 100 days toward that to keep the urgency on it. And I'm thinking out loud as I say this. I think we've got to be fair and reasonable and recognize that some of these will not happen overnight, though. So I say that out loud, maybe to look at my peers and see if you've got any thoughts.
Mr. Riggs, Dr. Dana, any thoughts?
100 days seems pretty quick. I'm fine with a six-month
I'm not unopposed.
Yeah.
We need to have something.
We need to have something. So I think they spoke, and within the next 30, 60 days, there will be some sort of answer on some of the state or local funding. But I think somewhere in the 46-month horizon, just to get everybody kind of on board, I'm fine with that time frame.
Dr. Dana, any thoughts here? You have a lot of experience in dealing with these projects where contingent approval is given. Any thoughts?
Well, I personally was okay with the 100 days just based on what the consultant had offered, but I do appreciate giving a little bit more latitude. 6 months brings us into the next year, 2019. So, Steve, were you looking at going into the next year with meeting some contingencies?
I don't know if we have y'all back up there to give us some sort of idea of, I mean, what's a realistic time frame.
And we're talking here, if I know you heard the motion. The motion says that by the end of this time frame, whatever it might be, the funding's in hand,
right,
and the hard costs are hard,
right,
and they're bondable and bonded,
right. Well, I am by nature the eternal optimist, but at the same time, I want to be practical with respect to the complexity of this project. The 6 month time frame, from my perspective, seems reasonable to accomplish what is expected.
I mean, I'm just saying you got to get the money in hand and you got to get this thing bid out.
Speaker, would it be, could we break this in two? Could we look at how, give them 6 months to get the money,
mm-hmm,
and then what do you think is a legitimate time period to get a bid out?
6 more months? I assume the plans will be hard to draw. Are they duplicate buildings or very similar to building number one?
Hangar number two is pretty much a carbon copy of hangar number one. Hangars three and four are similar but not identical.
They're not complicated buildings, though. They're big, giant.
They're technically sophisticated,
okay,
and does require some time for design. Our trying to recall the time period that it took us to go from contract to end design to beginning construction, and that was probably, at least on the first hangar, maybe 4 months?
So to answer...
The suggestion about 6 months to get the funding in place, I feel comfortable with that. The timeline to get to design and build is a little bit...
We have a timeline in our application that started in mid-2018, so it needs to be shifted over a little bit, but I think that's the timeline we should look at as far as imposing deadlines for obtaining plans and specs, because there's a separate there's an overlap of the timeline for plans and specs for Hangar 2 versus Hangars 3 and 4 in the warehouse and the administrative building. So I don't think we can, if we're going to put a deadline on it, it should be to achieve the plans and specs for Hangar 2, but it's going to be kind of a rolling process.
Well, what about what Speaker Ben said, and that is you get a 12-month timeline to get hard costs for construction from the time of our approval, our contingent approval. Does that work for you?
Well, no. Again, referring to the timeline we developed with our engineers, with Atkins, the timeline for developing the plans and specs and getting to the guaranteed maximum price bid for Hangar 2, if we were to start right now, would take us a year. For Hangars 3 and 4, that process would take us into early 2020 before we had final plans and specs and biddable contract.
Complicates.
And then
I will do it.
Councilor, let me ask you this. So we put a 6 month leash on. What if 6 months from now they haven't gotten all their money?
But they call, they come to us at the meeting and say, look, we've gotten all but $10 million. Can you extend your offer or term agreement or whatever?
Yeah, the answer is yes. So there's two different ways of dealing with it. One is we could build an extension mechanism in the contract to begin with that would specify how it might work. But even if it's not in
there... I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Then they're going to say, oh, we've got this extension, and it takes the heat off of them.
Sure. And then you don't have it in there, and you could go either way at that point. You could not extend it or extend it on...
And I would hope we would extend it, but we need to make sure that you've sort of been doing what you say you would do.
Right.
And I understand that in a court of law, it's sort of like legislative intent doesn't hold up. It's what the statutes say. In this case, I think it's the intent that we really want to see this happen, but we also want to keep you on a pretty tight leash. So I think if we stuck to the 6 months with the ability to look at, if you're not here, if you're not there yet, we can review it again and maybe give you 90 more days or another 180 days. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing that out, folks.
Mr. Connolly, just to follow on, you're suggesting 6 months for the funding to be secured, not for the finalization of the bids and the bonding.
Okay. Further comments? Yes, Ms. Skelton.
Question. Oh, wait, so we're talking about taking out the language in the motion that that addressed hard costs and...
No. I think we'll leave that in there.
But give the 6 months for the cash.
And I almost want to complicate it a little bit more. Dr. Dana said 100 days for funding. We'll give you 100. Maybe this is a deal for 120 days. And then in a year later, 12 months after 120 days or whatever, you give us hard costs. And then we'll keep on moving. But we don't fund until we have those hard costs in hand.
Is there objection to that? Does any member have a problem with Speaker Bannon's suggestion?
Except you have a short release to get the money, because you're going to need time to develop the plans. It's going to take
time. Absolutely. There's no question about it. Well, and as John mentioned, the way the plans will be developed, it's going to be a rolling schedule. So hangar, we're not going to develop the entire MRO campus on day one. It's going to be hangar two, then hangar three, then hangar four, then warehouse headquarters. So it won't be 12 months after funding and the entire campus is designed and bid. That will not happen.
Okay. Speaker, if I may,
sure.
Add, the only qualm I have about 100 days or 120 is the federal funding. So we really, it's a longer process, as Dave said. We don't, and we haven't been given a...
I can live with 6 months. I mean, six months for the funding. Okay, but just don't drag your feet. Push,
absolutely.
You know.
Mr. Speaker, the board, again, as I said, I live and breathe this thing. I know I have 133, but I'll work all day.
133 of those days.
After I'm the mayor to make this thing go down.
And I would add to, just to add to that, is we have experience in this project. We've built the first hangar. We have a tenant that we know how to work with. I feel comfortable that the six-month time frame is very doable. We have no track record of dragging our feet. We've actually moved fairly quickly on all aspects of this project. So I think we would appreciate the six-month time frame. That would work well.
Dr. Dana?
To make it clean, it's just short of 6 months. How about December 31st, 2018?
What is that?
That's 5 months and 2 weeks.
By the end of the year.
We accept that.
We're in agreement, Mr. Chairman.
That would really put the pressure on the mayor.
I like it. I live under it. That's good.
Okay. Mr. Lee? Mr. Riggs, are you good with that? December 31?
I am. Yeah, that sounds great.
But what about hard costs and bond? A year after that or 6 months later? 6 months after December 31st?
Probably a year, I would say. It will take that long to design and bid.
Okay, you get no money until you get that, so you know that.
We have other partners.
Okay, all right. Any objection? Ms. Skelton?
Mr. Chair, so in the motion we would use the dates of December 31st, 2018 and December 21st, 2019.
December 31st.
Yes, sir. Is that, I'm sorry. Is that how you want it structured with the dates in the motion?
That's what Speaker Ben's suggestion is.
I think it's realistic.
Okay.
I think that's realistic.
Okay.
Do you all understand the proposal as it is being discussed here in draft terms?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you wish to have Dr. Harper repeat it again, or are you prepared for someone to make this motion, or do you wish to take this matter up at a later time?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Mr. Riggs, you want to make the motion?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion to approve Dr. Harper's comments in addition to the timeline set forth for funding and development and bid process.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Schoaf. Is there a discussion? Is there a debate? Gentlemen, any further comments from you as to this motion and as to the obligations that you would have and that we would have if the motion passes?
We just want to say thank you again, and we're grateful for you going over our application, and we look forward to continuing the great work in Northwest Florida.
Any other comments? If not, we'll take public comment. Are there members of the public who wish to speak on this matter for or against, or to offer any information? Hey, good to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Todd Thompson on behalf of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Really can't say it any better than the mayor said, so I'm just going to reiterate our support for this project and just thank you for taking it up in a timely fashion as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Any other members of the public wish to speak for or against this project or to offer any information that the board may be able to use in making a judgment? Any member of the public? If not, Ms. Skelton, call the roll.
Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Mr. Connolly? Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Schoaf?
Yes.
The roll call is 7-0.
And show the motion adopted. We may have our great white whale here. I would agree with the comments that have been made that this is a project that could well make Northwest Florida an even more aggressive and productive and profitable center for aviation and aerospace. We look forward to working with all the partners, and I would ask the board for your permission for staff, and also ask the board for its cooperation as individual members to now become partners with the city and the county in this matter, not simply as funding partners, but also as advocates. So if we're called upon to meet with federal or state or local officials or with the private dollars that are coming to this project, we would ask your permission for staff to be able to do that. Our economic advisor, Dr. Harper, who's done an extraordinary amount of work on this, and ask individual members to please be available, because if we're in, we not only want to be in the boat, we want an oar. Yes, sir, Speaker. So we look forward to working with you to bring this project to fruition. It is a contingent approval, and there are significant obligations on the applicant, on the city and the county, and on us. And again, we thank Mayor Hayward and the City of Pensacola, the Airport Authority, the County Commission for its support of Hangar 1, and for hopefully its involvement as we go forward. Let's move on now. Dr. Harper, is there a need or a desire to take a 5 or 10 minute break? We stand at recess for 10 minutes.
Do you want to have
have a couple of board members possibly $8 on this thing, like we do with the others, or
yeah.
Thank you.
let's ask board members if they may take their places. We're back in session. And now we'd like to ask Dr. Harper to go to the next part of his presentation, having to do with the Whiting Aviation Park, which is our project number 72. And Dr. Harper, again, thank you for all of your work on this and other projects, and you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The request from the Santa Rosa Board of County Commissioners of Triumph is for $8,523,655, representing 48% of the total $17.7 million project cost. We do have cost breakouts available if the board would like to see more detail. I should add that here today we have for Santa Rosa County available to answer any tough questions, Commissioner Don Salter from Santa Rosa County, and then from the Santa Rosa Economic Development team, we have Director Shannon Ogletree and Erica Grancagnola from the organization, and then also from Santa Rosa County Engineering, we have Michael Smith today here available to talk about the project. So the basics of the project, it's an infrastructure development project providing improvements to 40 acres of industrial parkland that are outside the Whiting fence but adjacent to the south end of Whiting Field. The improvements are intended to support helicopter maintenance, repair, and overhaul operations in support of the Whiting Field military training missions. This is important timing for us at Triumph because the U.S. Navy will be rebidding contracts within the next 2 years for MRO activities required by the Whiting helicopter fleet. Whiting has not hosted substantial MRO operations for the rotary wing fleet before now. Instead, aircraft are transported to off-site locations, including St. Louis, for needed major repairs and updates. This adds transportation costs, reduces the effective availability of the fleet based at Whiting when equipment is transported for service. It's expected that the winner of the updated contract would view establishing facilities at Whiting to be a major driver of cost advantage relative to the current situation, and that cost advantage would help improve the viability of Whiting as a home to these missions. The Santa Rosa BOCC expects that these improvements will generate substantial private investment as well as employment directly and at associated jobs, with the direct employment being at or greater than 150% of the existing county average wages. Further, it will help elevate the function and visibility of the region in the important aviation aerospace target industry sector. And then further, the improvements will help guarantee the continued dominant role of Whiting Field and Santa Rosa County in helicopter training, thus guarding against loss of military missions in future BRAC rounds. The county reports that they've received substantive inquiries from at least two major private sector employers wishing to pursue exactly these sorts of MRO opportunities associated with Whiting. For these reasons, staff score this project as an A.
Are there questions for Dr. Harper before we go to the applicant? Dr. Dana.
I'm looking forward to hearing from the applicant, but just on the outset, I like the MRO industry clustering approach that Whiting offers. We just acted on the Pensacola MRO park or campus. We know that in Crestview there's significant modification in MRO work on both military and civilian aircraft. And then, of course, with Whiting, it's well-respected in the helicopter world, and to have that MRO activity happening there, given a solid application to have that MRO activity happening from Pensacola into Whiting, I think is significant.
Further comments or questions as to Dr. Harper's presentation?
A couple questions.
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker.
Number one, bids are out in 2 years. Construction's 3 years.
This is why we feel that the timing of this project is appropriate today and why it is so important, because the basic development of the industrial site to accommodate whoever the eventual winner of the project will prove to be needs to be done now, so that we don't, in 2 years, when the winner of the project is announced, then have 3 years of lead time before we can establish that as a viable facility at the south end of the runway.
So basically, if it's approved, they start construction rather quickly, but it still takes 3 years to finish it. And then the bids for renewal will come out in 24 months. Would the prospective bidders feel more comfortable knowing that construction is underway, it'll get done? Or,
and I'd like to call on my colleague, Ms. Henderson, to comment on that, having viewed firsthand at Enterprise Florida the timing and actually the credibility that's established for the site by having the activity underway.
I would agree that that is very helpful in the process, and the county could address that further with the applicants, or the interested companies that they've spoken to.
We're just doing the infrastructure improvements. So let's say that it goes out for bid in 2 years and somebody wants to use Whiting Field. Do they build a building on that 40 acres? Or is it just a, what is it? I mean, what's on there?
Yes, they would, and let's ask Mr. Ogletree.
This is Shannon Ogletree, members, who represents the Economic Development Organization in Santa Rosa County. And could you answer the question?
Yes, sir. Thank you. There are two companies looking at the industrial park at the moment. One company would build the facility themselves. And
how big would that be?
They're looking at about a 30,000 square foot facility.
Okay.
And then the MRO operations would be looking at a 20,000 to 30,000 square foot operations also. To your question on timing, as the infrastructure is going into the park, looking at constructing the building at the same time. And the operations of this one MRO company that we actually spoke to yesterday, they would look at housing operations at a different point until Whiting is fully constructed and ready.
How long would they have to build a building? Let's say they're low bidder, somebody is, and they want to go to Whiting Field, and we've got the infrastructure halfway done. Will they, at the first part of the contract, continue to do what they're doing now and outsourcing it until their buildings are built?
That's my understanding. I mean,
I missed that part, sorry.
That's my understanding, that if whoever wins the contract, say for the Hilo, they may send operations elsewhere until the operations at Whiting is ready.
I couldn't understand you. That's my only questions.
Other questions from Mr. Ogletree? All right, Commissioner Don Salter is here, and I think most of us know Commissioner Salter. He has been working to expand and preserve the military bases and missions in Northwest Florida probably longer than anybody else I know, and you are the senior statesman of this issue, and we're happy to have you here, sir. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and fellow board members. You're right, when I started this, my hair was brown. This is a unique project. In that primarily it protects Naval Air Station Whiting Field. It improves the efficiency of NAS Whiting Field. And the way it got started, most of y'all know that we've been acquiring land around Whiting Field for incompatible development, to prevent incompatible development, since 2001. Since then, we've acquired about 6,000 acres to help buffer that base. Back in 2003, we acquired 269 acres outside the back gate of Whiting Field, abutting the 6,000-foot south runway. A few days later, I had a call from the Commodore at Whiting Field. Commodore is over all the training. And he called me out there and said, Commissioner, since you now own the 269 acres, what's the feasibility of building an aviation repair facility to prevent my aircraft from having to be down for 4 or 5 days when I can just pull them through the fence, get them repaired, get them back in action, and make the base more efficient? I said, we'll be more than happy to pursue that. So we started a long dialogue with the Navy, headquarters in Jacksonville, eventually to the Pentagon. It took me 6 years to work with all the flag officers, Secretary of the Navy, to get a very unique joint access use agreement, a limited access use agreement, where the county, and only the county, has access to all the amenities at Naval Air Station Whiting Field. And when you look at our application, you're going to see the contributions that the county has made. But I want you to think about having access to all those amenities at Whiting Field. Access to a 6,000-foot runway, air traffic control, fire control, restricted airspace, all through the fence line. So that's kind of the history of the project, and it's unique in that we have an opportunity, as Dr. Harper said, to prevent our aircraft from going to other states for repair. And we think this project, first of all, it'll be 40 acres for the helicopter repair. We think eventually the whole 269 acres will develop into a major aircraft rebuild facility. Any questions? I want to thank you all for hearing us today. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker.
What happens if in 2 years, when this is bid out, that repair facility goes to XYZ Air Force Base in, or Naval Air Base in Arizona? I'm making that up. What happens to that property and all the improvements to it? Is there a plan B? Is there someone else that would take over that property?
It would be available to any private company who would want to come in there and do aircraft maintenance. It's not restricted just to the military.
What about how do you feel, I know I'm putting you on the spot, you clearly feel the chances are very strong that with that additional through the fence addition, that one of the two, are there two companies bidding it?
I do.
They would get it? You feel 10%, 80%? I mean, because that's really what we're, you know, we at Triumph, we want to generate jobs, and we don't want to own land or have you own land. Nothing personal, but we like to see the bang for the buck early on.
I would say the opportunity would probably be 80% greater for one of those companies to, and in the past, they said that they would love to be able to put in their contract bid that they would locate outside that fence line to keep the cost down.
How long have they been there? How long have they been there doing that work? How long have they had the contract? Many, many years?
Contract, they do them every 3 years, and then they rebid them.
But they've been there how long?
A long time.
10 years, 15 years, Shannon?
Seven.
Seven years?
Seven.
Okay.
And I love the comment you made earlier. You can't catch the rabbit unless you let the dogs go. So we can't catch the rabbits unless you untie the dogs.
Okay, I'm okay with it.
Okay. We have staff here to answer any of the technical questions. I'm here just kind of give you the history of the project. I know that Dr. Dana has been out to Whiting Field many times when she was working with Governor Bush. She knows the base. She knows South Field, what we're talking about. So we appreciate y'all's listening to us today, and we appreciate the job y'all do. We know you have a hard job. I sat down and listened to you on the other project, and we appreciate what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Any further questions for Commissioner Salter or Mr. Ogletree at this point? Dr. Harper, as you have evaluated this project, and I would ask counsel as well,
how do you see, and I hate to keep talking about clawbacks. I sound like I'm a one-trick pony, and we hope we never have to do a clawback. But if we have to do a clawback, we're going to do a clawback.
Right.
So let me ask counsel and Dr. Harper, how had you considered the structure of a clawback in this case?
Mr. Chairman, in this case, we envision the clawback being conditioned on job creation at a certain wage rate. We expect, and we have a letter from Mr. Schaebler, the county administrator in Santa Rosa, recognizing that Santa Rosa understands that a triumph award will include clawback provisions to be identified and agreed upon. Now, we anticipate that improvements such as this over the 40 acres would have the potential to have a good probability of attracting at least 200 jobs in the aviation aerospace sector, paying 150% of the prevailing county wage as published by Enterprise Florida, and we would envision that to be the basis for the clawback. Looking at these wage rates and looking at the number of jobs at 200 or more and the amount of the commitment, again, with an aviation aerospace focus, this does put us at the same $42,500 per job that we envisioned for the Pensacola MRO facility. So it is in that neighborhood, desirable sector. If anything, the wages that are discussed in the application are higher as a percent of the average wage. That may be a conservative approach on Pensacola's part, but good wages, good sector, good jobs, and therefore we feel that it merits the board's consideration at a relatively high per direct job funding rate.
And gentlemen, I just want to make sure that if we approve going to a term sheet, we don't want to surprise anybody when we get to term sheet conversations. You're aware, I assume, and you agree, I would expect, that the representations made in this application will be tied to specific performance requirements in a contract, and that there will be a clawback that's based on those performance requirements. We don't want this to happen. We just can't imagine it happening. I know you don't want it to happen, but you do understand that there will be performance metrics as identified by you. You've indicated what's going to happen, and you've heard Dr. Harper express agreement with your projections, but if and as they don't come true, you understand that we will be looking to the county to be the source of clawback. Is that understood?
Correct. Yes, I have spoken to majority of the commissioners and understand that there is the provisions of the jobs created, and if the provisions are not there, then the clawback are the 8.5 or a negotiated number there based upon the jobs there, the county would pay it back. We stand behind this project, and this is the Santa Rosa County's number one project, and we are such a high believer in this. We're putting basically our money where our mouth is.
We want you to believe in it even more than we do.
We will.
Dr. Dan.
Thank you. I know that for the just general aircraft, the MRO centers of excellence are the three county area of Miami-Dade, West Palm Beach, and then also Arizona. There's probably a few other smaller scale MRO hubs. What would be competition for MRO with a helicopter? Is there a kind of a hub in the United States that you would be potentially competing against?
Andalusia, Alabama, Meridian, Mississippi, and then like Dr. Harper said, even sometimes in St. Louis.
And so, you probably said it, Dr. Harper, So you would be trying to draw down or maximize your potential to draw down long-term naval contracts for MRO, but that would extend also, I would assume, into the Army and the Air Force potential MRO work for their helicopters. And then how about civilian?
And even commercial. Yes, ma'am. Even commercial MRO helos we would court for that property.
So, again, I just go back to my initial comments before hearing from y'all and just understanding the potential of a center of excellence for Northwest Florida, stretching from, at minimum, Okaloosa to Escambia for MRO work and building that industry niche, which is not new. It's something that's been cultivated over time. And then that supplier chain, which can be quite significant. So I see real potential in it. I thank you guys both for coming here.
Questions, Mr. Chairman? Further questions? Yes, sir. Mr. Connolly.
Mr. Chairman. Consistent with what we did for Okaloosa, Dr. Harper, I would assume we'll put a time frame around the creation of these jobs. This much like that one is we don't have a bird in the hand necessarily, Shannon. I know you've got great leads, and maybe they're committed as more so than we're hearing today, but we don't have a bird in the hand, so to speak, and we just need to be sure we're aggressive about that and have a time frame around which these jobs get created.
Yes.
To be consistent with what we did in Okaloosa.
Escambia, you mean, sir?
No, I'm actually speaking to the...
To the Okaloosa project?
Where okay. It similarly was for infrastructure for jobs not yet in hand.
Yes, Director Connolly, we certainly expect that the term sheet to be arrived at would include the specifics about, as we typically have done within 3 years of the installation of the infrastructure, these jobs would be at least contracted for and beginning to be spooled up, if not fully implemented at that point.
Is that acceptable?
Yes.
All right. You gentlemen understand that that would be included in a term sheet.
Yes, sir.
Further comments or questions? Yes, sir, Mr.
I would like to just add one comment. I certainly am going to be supportive of this. I think it really actually has a dual benefit for the community. We've talked often about diversifying our economy, and to Dr. Dana's comments about MRO regional impact, I think that's the diversification side. We're also investing in an asset that we already recognize is very important. And I think we've received feedback and comments as a board about don't forget about what's already here. This has the added advantage of making Whiting Field even more competitive. So I think it's got multiple advantages for this board to consider and for our community to support.
Thank you.
Yes.
Further comments, questions? Yes, sir. Mr. Liam.
Just wanted to find out, you know, from a standpoint of other partners in the project, is FDOT or any other state agencies or federal agencies been approached to have a role in this project at this time?
We've reached out to the Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund last year. We were going to reapply this year for the same grant, but we haven't gotten to that point yet. But we are investing $1.8 million of our own cash into the project. But other state or federal agencies, no, we have not.
Just don't forget, as I said earlier, one of the bigger partners is the Department of the Navy that will give us access to all those amenities on that base. That's a huge partner.
No question. And in preparing for another possible background, I read that in your application, certainly making certain that the commitment of the community is shown to the Navy and our military divisions is always very important.
Never go to sleep at will.
Never.
Yes, sir. Real quick, I'm not a fond believer in build it and they will come. But in this case, I think between the clawbacks and Commissioner Salter, I'm in.
Thank you.
Further comments or questions? If not, could you help us again, Dr. Harper, by articulating what a draft motion might contain?
Yes. The draft motion would be more akin to our standard draft motion, where a board member, let me pull up the other recommendation, if I'm right. Staff asked the board.
Mr. Chair, the board member should have a draft motion in front of them that would fit the situation. One sheet page that each of you.
Do you have an extra one, please?
Yes, sir. Everybody should have one.
Does everyone have a draft motion as prepared by staff? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Dr. Harper. Go ahead, please.
Staff, at this point, request from the board a motion to approve the move to a term sheet with the Santa Rosa Board of County Commissioners for the $8.5 million performance-based contract award to support development of the Whiting Field Aviation Park.
Now, are there any additions that you wish to make to that motion? If not, a motion maker is in order.
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, yes. To be specific, the dollar value is $8,523,655.
All right. And is that, before we go to the to a motion maker, is that paid out in 1 year, or is that paid out based on your construction over 2 years?
This does not have the characteristics of the project that we had previously considered for Pensacola. These infrastructure improvements are centered around water, electricity service, other expenditures that, while we haven't discussed specific timing, Shannon, what is the number of months that you, or Mr. Smith, would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, construction time.
Number of months.
Cash requirements over 1 year, 2 years.
Michael Schmidt, Santa Rosa County Engineering. Construction costs will take about 365 days for the infrastructure improvements.
Over, would it start in 2018?
Hence getting the funding and moving forward, getting the construction plans 2018, probably most likely the first of 2019 for construction to actually start.
Chairman?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
Is there any special permits that, other than what the commissioner has outlined, that you have the agreement that has to be obtained through the military?
Through the military?
No, sir.
Building close to a base?
Okay.
No, sir. No special permits. We do need permits for water and sewer infrastructure, but nothing special. We're staying out of any wetlands that are on the site, so there's no special permits required.
Mr. Connolly.
That made me think of another question. Any environmental impact statement development you're going to have to do since this is more associated with federal government land?
No, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, our previous contracts, including the Okaloosa County Water and Sewer, have included the specification that the funding burden be shared between Triumph and the county in the proportion of that expenditure which Triumph intends to make. Now, here, as in that contract, some expenditures have already been made by the county in anticipation of this project, and therefore I recommend that staff calculate the remaining balance, as we did with Okaloosa, and arrange for disbursement of funds so that the county is putting up its share of its cash. Shannon mentioned the $1.8 million as Triumph puts up its share of the Triumph dollars.
Is there any disagreement with that? If not, that would be included in a motion. And then let me ask the same question that Speaker Benz asked with respect to the Okaloosa County project, and that is the infrastructure that you're putting in, do you plan to bid that out?
Correct, sir. Yes, bid it out.
Good.
Good job.
He's teaching me. I'm trying to...
All right, and that would be included as well, your representation that would be bid out. Further discussion, comments, questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Lee.
Just one last question. I think this would be directed to Mr. Ogletree. From a standpoint of this site, has this site already been certified site, or what type of marketing has already gone into place to market this site?
The site is not site certified through the Florida First program, but it is our goal. Well, it will be certified after this infrastructure being put in place and continue to be marketed as a MRO type operations industrial park.
Thank you.
Let me take this opportunity to ask someone who understands the site certification values a whole lot better than I do. How important is it, Mr. Connolly, that this site become certified in order to attract the businesses that they want to attract?
I think in general it's very important for these sites to be certified. Clearly, Shannon's mentioned two companies that are already looking at it without it being certified. But I think the characteristics they're trying to build into this site, infrastructure already being there, permits already being in place, are all a part of the advantages you get from the certification process. So he's going to go through probably, I'm guessing, the vast majority of what you'd have to do anyway as you're making these improvements. The certification ought to be fairly painless relative to some other sites. And I think absent these two tenants coming, and as well other tenants coming, I think the marketability of the site will just be that much more enhanced by it being certified.
Correct. I mean, not just the stamp of approval through site certification, but as Mr. Connolly mentioned, is getting the geotechnical, getting everything, taking the risk out of when a potential company comes, we have all that in place. I mean, we currently have more certified sites in Santa Rosa County than anywhere else in the state of Florida. So this will go through that process, making a fourth for us.
So you're going to do that?
Yes, sir.
Further comments or questions?
One more, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Speaking.
When I thanked Commissioner Salter, Shannon, you've done a great job in this, too. You've done a really good job.
Here again, I want to thank this board and Dr. Harper and the staff, but I really want to thank the county staff. They've done a great job, and thank you, Mr. Benz, for bringing that up.
Anything else? Yes, sir, Mr. Connolly.
With the intent of the county certifying this site, Gulf Power Company participates financially in that. So I think to be safe, I will recuse myself from this vote. I don't know that it's entirely necessary, but given the conversation we've had, I think I'm gonna step away on this one.
In an abundance of caution. Any other further comments? If not, do you wish Dr. Harper to restate staff's recommendation? Or do you have it? Is there such a motion?
Vince moves.
Moved by Speaker Benz. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Dana. Is there a debate? Is there discussion? We'd like to take public comment at this point. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak to this issue, to this proposal, either for it or against it, or to provide any information that you think the board should know before they vote? Second call for a public comment. Any member of the public wish to comment? If not, please call the roll.
Mr. Benz?
Yes.
Dr. Dana?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Lee?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Shove?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, it's 6-0 with Mr. Connolly abstaining.
Show the motion adopted. As to these two items now that will be going to negotiation of a term sheet, I'd like to ask if on the Pensacola project, if Mr. Riggs would agree to serve as a board liaison of that project. Would that be agreeable, sir?
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Dr. Dana, since you've been to Whiting Field many times, in fact, I understand they were thinking of changing the name to Dana Field. And we'll name some after Speaker Benz too. Dr. Dana, would you agree to be board liaison to the Whiting Field project? Thank you very much. I'm trying, Speaker. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the game.
I love the humor.
And now we'd like to go to the program administrator's report. Ms. Henderson, I know you've been meeting with many people who have interesting ideas, and some of them have turned into interesting proposals. You have a couple that you want to give us a status report on specifically, and the floor is yours.
Good afternoon. Yes, we, in addition to the projects that you've heard about today, we have, as a staff, been meeting with many interested parties, many that have applications and pre-applications in, and additional interested applicants that have not applied yet. Some highlights that we'll discuss in a moment in more detail. Before I get to that, I'd like to note also that through Dr. Fuller's work, we anticipate seeing proposals from the school districts in Franklin County and Gulf County early this fall. We're really excited about the efforts that he's made there. As of today, since our last board meeting, we've received 7 more applications, totaling all 41 applications received total just under $400,000. That's a reduction in the amount of the total request. I'm sorry, $400 million, which is a reduction in the amount that you heard last time. Quite a number of applicants have updated their request and reduced their numbers based on feedback that they're hearing board members make during our board meetings, and so those, including the airport project in Pensacola. So we're seeing reduced applications. Additionally, we met with, Dr. Huff and I had an opportunity to meet with members of Gulf County, the Port Authority, and interested parties, and the Economic Development Officer there, and we had more in-depth discussions about Gulf County's single proposal and other things that they may be thinking about in the future. From board comments based on their application and staff questions, we did send a letter to Gulf County, which they've recently responded to. Yes, things such as the bidding process that was since come up in the conversation since they had...
Excuse me, Ms. Henderson, could you just, for the record, remind the board what that application is? Just the
highlights
of the application.
I apologize. We get deep into it. So as you'll see on the agenda, the Port of Port St. Joe application number 27, which is a floating dry dock, and there were questions that the board has since raised since the time they had submitted their applications related to the bid process and a number of other items, and so we did send a letter, which they recently responded to, and if there's, Dr. Harper can go further in detail into that.
Yes, we've had a productive set of discussions with Gulf County. We communicated that the some of the reservations of the board in moving ahead with the project. It's clear that the floating dry dock would need to be put out to bid in a competitive and transparent bid process. All permits needed for locating and operating the floating dry dock in the port of Port St. Joe must be in place. The applicant would need to detail their efforts to work with the tenant and the local workforce agency to ensure that residents of Gulf County are considered for the jobs resulting from the operation of the dry dock, and that Gulf County will maintain ownership of the floating dry dock asset. And we mentioned that the direct FTE jobs described in the proposal are more expensive than other projects that the Triumph Board is considering, and that that could potentially lead the board to consider a smaller funding award or ask for a greater commitment of direct FTE jobs on the part of the applicant, and that the board, in light of the mobile nature of the asset, would likely insist on a longer than usual maintenance period for the direct FTEs in Gulf County before the dry dock would be moved to another location, so as to ensure that local area receives maximum benefit from the Triumph investment, and that, as with other projects, we would insist on appropriate indemnification so that Triumph's interests are protected. And so we have received what we view as a very productive letter from Mr. Yeager, who is the contact person for this application in Gulf County, and look forward to continuing the discussions on that basis.
Other questions about this? I know that individual members of the board have met with staff and have also met with the applicant and interested parties about this matter. And I think what our objective has been with staff is to become a lot more specific about what this project is and what it does. Mr. Schoff, I know this is your neck of the woods, and would certainly ask you for any comments you might make.
I tell you, so far, as a resident of Gulf County, this is one of the most exciting things we back home are reading in the paper and looking forward to, and hoping that Eastern will bring these jobs to Gulf County. So on that note, we're behind this 100%. There were a list of questions that Dr. Harper sent to Gulf County that we received the responses to just today at this meeting, so hadn't really had a chance to go through it to ask anything else at this time. But I think it's, so far it seems like a wonderful project. We've got to get down to the nuts and bolts of it.
And Mr. Schoff, I would ask you, I know you will because of your own personal interest in it and the fact that you come from that area, but I would certainly ask you on behalf of the board to stay as involved as you care to be, so that if and as this matter comes before the board, we can turn to you for your recommendation and your insights.
Be happy to. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions about where that project stands at this time? All right, Ms. Henderson, you're recognized for any further comments, please.
Yes. Additionally, as discussed at our previous board meeting, there was an interest in forming a sports tourism working group, and we are continuing to reach out to experts, both economic experts and industry experts that work in the industry, to put together a strong agenda for such a meeting that we hope will be in the near future. And there was an interest in oysters.
Before you leave that, I understand that there was 2B a meeting, and then it had to be canceled because not all the players were able to come. Is that correct?
Correct. The scheduling around the 4th of July holiday was a little bit difficult, and we have added another board member to the working group. Dr. Dana is going to also participate, and so we want to make sure to be respectful of her scheduling as well.
Okay, so Dr. Dana and Mr. Lee and Speaker Benz are working on that and are going to have a meeting. And Speaker, would you convene that meeting, please?
Sure.
Okay. And then you'll report back when you feel you have some insights on that industry. Okay. Oysters.
Another set of proposals that we, and pre-applications and applications and applications yet to be seen, that we've had a significant amount of interest in are oysters. And this ranges from Pensacola all the way to Wakulla and many counties in between. But most recently, we've had significant conversations with research institutes and the actual industry in the Apalachicola area, and have spent a number of hours working with them. And Mr. Schoff has spent a considerable amount of time, and there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes conversations that are new and in a positive way. And we are excited to convene a working group on that later this summer as well. And I can turn it over to Dr. Hubbard and Mr. Schoff for additional information.
Director Schoff, would you care to?
Well, we're making progress. Right now I'm currently working with Florida State University and a group called the Apalachicola Bay Oyster Management Group, which is made up of some local leaders, business leaders and political leaders, and the Seafood Workers Union representative, University of Florida, Department of Agriculture, and the game wardens, as we call them back home. So they're all working together to develop, I guess, what they would call a research to market plan to bring back the oyster industry in Franklin County. We hope to have a committee meeting with the three of us sometime in the next few weeks, of course, subject to everyone's schedule. But so far, so good, and everything that's been said. I guess the next step is to formally have that meeting and iron out some of the details that need to be ironed out.
Could I add briefly to that? as we enter into these additional discussions, it's important to recognize that this is a horse of a different color for Triumph, that it's clear that given the distress to the Apalachicola Bay ecosystem, there's a need to get at the science that underlies the health of that area, and Triumph is not accustomed to making grants to do that. Triumph board members have insisted that projects have a job creation metric associated with them. In these initial discussions, that has sometimes been referred to as phase two. Well, phase one is the research that the universities would like to lead, and we certainly view that as necessary for part two to occur, but an important development for us will be the identification of what phase two would look like, which would involve the economic aspects of the ability to have a healthy oyster environment, whether they are cultivated oysters, whether they are tonged in the traditional method, but we're not there yet, and we're being asked to spend a non-trivial amount of money to do the science to get to the point where the oyster industry could be healthy, and so that will be a concern for us going forward.
To me, the one of the encouraging signs here is that you actually have the Gators and the Noles working together. FSU and the University of Florida, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Shove, have agreed to work together with you on this project. So I appreciate you bringing them together and getting them on the same team. We're going to be sending you to the Middle East next week. And then on to other spots around the world. But is there anything that we can do? I know you have full support from our small but expert staff. Is there anything that we can do to help you as you're trying to move this project along? We've gone from preaching to meddling here. We're not just waiting passively for somebody to bring us a project. Instead, Mr. Shove is in the middle of helping to actually develop a viable approach to this key economic issue, but what can we do other than stay out of your way and give you staff support?
I can't think of anything else. Staff has been wonderful. They've driven to Franklin County at every request, and they've given a tremendous amount of help. I don't think there's anything else they could do beyond what they're doing now. But thank you.
Well, thank you for your leadership in this area. Is there anything else, Ms. Henderson, that you'd like to report on?
To quickly wrap up, at our last board meeting, you all shared a strong interest in participating in the business development process and being advocates for the region with companies and interested entities. The chairman and I had an opportunity to speak with economic development officials in the region and reiterate what the statute does and does not allow for, clear up any concerns that they might have when they're out pitching Triumph as a resource in their activities. Currently, a number of those economic development staff are in London at the Farnborough Air Show, and we're very excited about the opportunities they might bring back and also the insight they might be are going to bring back about how Triumph is perceived internationally. And from there, I'll have an opportunity to meet with them and talk and debrief and put together a more formalized plan to bring to you on how you can be more participatory. But we did get feedback that they're all very excited to have the opportunity to call on each of you to attend meetings with prospects and show the support to other that you might have for something they're working on. I'm happy to answer questions or take any feedback as we continue to develop a way for more engagement.
Ms. Henderson and I volunteered, all of us and each of us, to be part of pitch teams, to meet with prospects, not to make commitments on behalf of the board, but rather to indicate this board's record, strong record now, in supporting serious, solid projects, and to articulate the resources we have available and our willingness to help.
So you have been volunteered.
I do have one particular thing to note on that. These economic development projects almost always come with confidentiality to who the company and the client and the prospect is. And so we are working closely with council to develop an appropriate NDA or utilize the state statute so that we can help our economic development partners but not be in their way as they pursue these exciting opportunities.
Mr. Streeter,
I'm glad we're making progress on that because I know at a prior meeting, I distinctly recall the, you know, we don't